Good morning, church. How are you doing? Today is really Palm Sunday, right? Because yesterday was Saturday, so yesterday we waved, but we can always say tomorrow is Palm Sunday. So today is Palm Sunday, and this is actually the fourth time I'm preaching the same message in different languages. Yesterday, I was at the dialect service, and I was trying to figure out how to say, you know, the brunch. And I thought the worship leader got a bit confused because she was telling us to wave the handphone when she was actually expecting us to wave the branch, because this is chuki. This is chuki. So you can imagine how confusing it can be. But it's a great time for us to rejoice because we are celebrating Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem many years ago. And I remember a story on Palm Sunday of a 7-year-old boy who always go to church every week, but on that Palm Sunday, he had COVID, couldn't go to church. So his whole family went to church, got back all these palm branches and start waving, and he was very jealous. So he turned to a mom and said, "How come you have all these branches?" He said, "What does that mean?" And the mom said this: "Today is Palm Sunday, so we wave this when Jesus enter, you know?" And he got really upset. He said, "I've not missed a single service, and every time I was there, Jesus was not there. And the only time I was not there, Jesus turned up." While we cannot physically see Jesus, we do know that His Spirit is with us. Amen? And that's why good Anglicans say this: "The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." Okay, you pass. I think Archdeacon will be very, very proud of us. While Christians traditionally celebrate Palm Sunday with the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, the use of palm leaves actually means different things to different culture. But to the Jewish people, they actually don't wave this during Palm Sunday. They wave this during the Feast of Tabernacle, right in Sukkot. And traditionally, they have actually, until today, they still make palm leaves into, you know, different things and then offer, you know, with fruits. But a lot of time, they put palm leaves on their roofs. So on this day, they not only will remember to take palm leaves, they also will recall this psalm, Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, which we kind of recited it in a different way. Let's read it together. "Save us, we pray, O Lord, O Lord. We pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Now remember, this is a psalm that is called a messianic psalm, right? Because this also reveals to us that one day this Messiah is going to come and save the people from their sins. But the people do not know, because traditionally, the palm leaves also is used not just to, wave and offer during the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacle. To the Roman Empire and to those people living out there, it is also a representation of victory, especially to welcome the king who has victoriously come back, or to set them free. So, you know, for the Jewish people, when they were waving these palm leaves on the very day, they were actually saying, you know, "King, save us. Help us to be free from the Roman Empire." To Christians, this is a symbol of peace and love. But to them, this is a bit of Jewish nationalism. And that's why you can see that when they actually have their first coin, the palm tree was also inscripted, or rather engraved, on these coins. And so they shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us." Actually, they are saying, "Save us from all this Roman rule. And come and free us from slavery," that kind of thing. But today, as we remember Palm Sunday, it is very special, because there's a new meaning that comes to us, because Jesus did not just come and overthrow the Roman Empire. And that's why we use these palm leaves to make into crosses. And we also remember the prophecy that was spoken in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9:9. And it's interesting because in this passage, it shows us the fulfillment of what Jesus has come to fulfill. Let's read this together. Go. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, it's interesting, if you have come last week, you will notice that Pastor Daniel Teo actually ended his sermon on a temptation of pride. And as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking to myself, today, we have an example of the humility of Jesus riding on a donkey, not on a horse. How appropriate it is. Today, as we look at this verse, we remember he was riding on a donkey. Now, many of us will kind of think of donkey as bad association. In fact, the word, the original word for donkey is ass. The female version, you can Google it. Yesterday, I thought my mother-in-law was not there, so I kind of, you know, blurted out because it's the same name as my mother-in-law. And I remember a story of a donkey. So today, I thought I will kind of reflect about Palm Sunday narrative on a donkey. Now, it was a story about this couple. You know, they went to a restaurant, and the husband was very rude. Every time they ordered something, when the waiter was asking, what does your wife want? He would say, give this donkey chicken chop. He say, what do you think she want to drink? He say, the donkey just drink water can already. So donkey this, donkey that. Before the wife could say anything, the husband would cut the wife off and say, give this donkey something. So when the husband went to the toilet, to the restroom, the waiter was a bit upset, turned to the wife and say, hey, why your husband keep calling you donkey? You don't get angry, man? And then the wife rolled eye, and then she said, hee-haw, hee-haw, always like that one. I quite pity the husband also. But wherever things are associated with donkey, we always think that, you know, they're stupid, they're silly, they're stubborn, they're lazy. In fact, there's a Chinese proverb that say, 懒驴上磨,屎尿多, basically describing lazy people or lazy donkeys. But if you go and research the characteristics of donkeys, contrary to all these bad associations, donkeys are actually very important modes of transport during Jesus' time, and they are actually very intelligent. According to a study in 2013, it says that they can actually learn and problem solve at the same pace as dolphins and dogs. So they are actually quite intelligent. And they are sometimes very emotional, very moody. They can be very complex. They are stubborn at times, active at night. At night, don't sleep one. When threatened, they can bite. Sounds like who? Your teenage children. I have three of them. only we know, right? But actually, today, if you think about it, the Bible sometimes describes all these animals like us. We are like donkeys. You know, in the Bible, there are many different stories about donkey. Which are the ones that you can remember? Balaam's donkey, right? The donkey who can talk, quite famous. And also, there's a donkey in the story of the Good Samaritan, because he put the sick person on the donkey, right? Now, this donkey story is narrated in all four Gospels, so it's quite important, although we do not know the donkey's name. And this donkey actually was the fulfillment of prophecy made 500 over years ago. Amazing. And so today, I thought to myself, you know, if we want to learn about Palm Sunday, maybe something we can reflect on is to learn to be like a donkey. Because if we think about it, it is really not about us, but about Christ. So I've titled today's message on Palm Sunday, Not I, But Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, Not I, But Christ. Because we live in a world of performance and comparison, and God is reminding us to be like a donkey that carry His presence. Because the world says, prove yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself. The world says, be number one. And the Bible says, the last shall be the first. The world says, you have to help yourself. The Bible says, my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The world says, you are not good enough, but the Bible says, you are very special in God's eyes. It is really not about position, but about posture, because according to Jesus, greatness is defined by servanthood and humility. And that's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming into the scene, he said this, he must increase and I must decrease. And so today we turn to the narrative of the Gospel of Mark, reading from chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Let's read the scriptures together out loud. Go. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will stir in our hearts to respond to you, to obey you, and to be like the donkey that will carry your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Through the narrative, there is one phrase that I caught attention, and that is this: the Lord has need of it. Isn't it interesting that in all the Gospels, this story was actually narrated? And it is repeated that the donkey appeared because the Bible says, Jesus says, the Lord has need of it. And to the disciples who was actually going to almost like steal the donkey, I do not know what was going through the disciples' mind. Because Jesus says, just go there, find a donkey, untie it and bring it to me. And if people ask you, you just say, the Lord has need of it. And that's it. Do you know that the Lord has need of you also? The Lord has need of it. But however, this donkey belongs to others. This donkey is being tied up. This donkey has never been ridden. And this donkey, of course, cannot speak like Balaam's donkey. So what's so special about this donkey? This donkey has a very special purpose to carry Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It's very special, but the donkey do not know. And many of us may not recognize. But however, if we are to be used by the Lord, three things we must do. First of all, be untied. All right? Because in verse 2, it says that, untie this donkey and bring it to me. The donkey needs to be untied because it belongs to someone else. Last week, we heard a testimony of a brother by the name of Andrew Ho, you remember? From New Charis Mission, who was actually promoting about the unlabored run. And I think that if you will agree with me that his testimony was very powerful. It was a testimony about someone who was in bondage, who's been bondage towards drugs. He was surrounded by bad company and he ended up in prison. But in prison, he found Jesus Christ. And God took him out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he was released from the prison. Last time, the officers will, you know, bring him in cuffs to the prison, and now they invite him to prison to give counseling. I think that's a powerful testimony. And we can all attest to one another to say that before we were Christian, we lived a life that's totally, you know, very different. And we came out of darkness. We need to be untied. We need to break free from all these bondages, the bondage of sin. And that's why when we come and become a Christian, we were delivered. But however, I realized that many Christians, although they are not in prison, they are imprisoned in their mind. It seems like there are also Christians who need to be untied. Because somehow, they do not know that they can have this freedom from God. And that's why we have our deliverance and inner healing ministry. It is so important. It is like the story of this elephant that was tied up with this very small rope. So one day, a man was passing by and realized that this big, strong elephant did not escape. And so he turned to the trainer and said, why didn't the big elephant escape? This is such a thin rope. Why don't you use chain to tie it up? To which the trainer said, when this elephant was a baby, was a young elephant, we already used this small rope to tie on this elephant. And they have tried to escape, kick, make a fuss, but they could not. And so when they grew bigger, even though this is the same rope, the small rope, and they could escape, In their mind, they thought they have tried everything and they would never escape. Friends, today God is reminding us, if there are things that are binding us, there are things that are tying us up, we need to break free. Amen? God is reminding us that if you want to be used by the Lord, you need to break free from all these past hurts. You need to break free from your bitterness. You need to break free from things that's holding you back that God can use you to do. But maybe we are also tied up with other things. There's a different kind of tied up, I think. I'm not referring to your marriage. Sometimes we are tied up with our time, isn't it? Because we are busy Singaporeans. We are all entangled up. It's almost like what was reminded by us in the parable of the sower. We are like the seed that are sown among thorns. Those who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy and to the church, in fact, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled. Sometimes we get entangled into many things that we cannot be used by the Lord in the kingdom of God. We get entangled in civilian pursuit. In a recent survey and report by CNA, it says that many Singaporeans are overworked. Do you agree? If you are sleeping in a sermon, maybe you are. But I think many are really, really working beyond what was needed. In fact, it was reported that many are working above their 44.1 hours a week. They are working an average of 8.2 overtime. So if you minus off the 8 hours you have sleep, or maybe 10 hours, 2 hours of transport, and many hours on social media, food, and even your holidays, you realize that you are very busy. When God wants to use you, are you available for Him to be used? This Lent season, God wants us to be untied from the affairs of this world and be released to serve the Lord. You know, ever since I became an ordained minister, an ordained Anglican priest, I realized that I have many meetings to go to. I'm not sure whether all these meetings are all that, you know, important sometimes. Thank God our archdeacon don't like meetings also. So both of us agree, shouldn't have too many meetings. But some meetings, I'm the one that's chairing, so bo pian. In Chinese, we use this word, meeting means kai hui. And we say, yue kai yue pu hui. Every time we have a meeting, I feel like it's more like brainstorming, not meeting. There's no conclusion to this. And once in a while, you know, when the meeting is canceled, you have some free time and you can or can do some pastoral work, I would say, right? And recently, of course, in our off day on Monday, you know, we have a lot of errands to run, a lot of business in our family. And one of these Mondays when I actually plan out, you know, a number of things, one of which was to bring my whole family to rock climb, to enjoy ourselves. And I received a call from a lady, you know, at Block 38, you know, the lady who is actually one of the lady boss in the restaurant in Bowen. And it was at the very beginning when we were just interacting. She was sending me all the promotion, telling me, you know, we have free dishes coming up. And one day she just texts me and say, can you bring me to rock climbing? I say, you want to go rock climbing? Because my profile picture was me, you know, holding on to some rocks. So she noticed that and she said, can you bring me to rock climbing? I said, okay, I'll bring you to rock climbing. So I decided to bring my whole family to the restaurant to have lunch and waited for her to have her break time. And then we went rock climbing. And she was so excited, you know, just having fun together. And I think we carved out time and we enjoy this time together. In my mind, I was thinking maybe I should bring her to Alpha Course later. And I have this timeline for her to accept Christ. And so I decided to invite her to church that very weekend. So she came to church very excited because she had real good fun with us. In fact, the next week she brought the husband and she bring the children to rock climb with us. And so the very weekend she came, she actually received Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior for the very first time. Come on, let's give God the glory. And I asked her, have you said the sinner's prayer? And she said, I said 3 times already. Because she said, I want to be very sincere. Pastor Eunice can attest to that because Pastor Eunice was sitting with her. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, if I miss the opportunity, I have not carved out time for this, then I will miss this golden opportunity to share here. Today, she's telling people, in Block 38, you know, every time I come, she'll call me, Sifu, this my Sifu, this my pastor. So I am just so excited about how, you know, when you make time for people, God comes in. When you carry His presence, a miracle happens. Someone says, to serve God, to love God, to enjoy God is the sweetest freedom in the world. Isn't it? Be untied. Be free to serve the Lord. Be free to be used by the Lord. Sometimes I wonder how our senior pastor find time also, because on Sunday, you know, after tonight, you know, every Sunday, he has to preach, you know, in broken Tanzanian, and now maybe better, I do not know. So sometimes I talk to myself, I say, wow, how can he do it? He actually planted a church online. He got so much time, man. What is the secret of his success? And when I thought about it, there's two words that came to my mind. One is passion, and the other word is compassion. First of all, I think he has passion for God. And not only has passion for God, he has compassion for others. You see, if you have passion for God and no compassion for others, all you do, right, you know, is just doing all these church things and you read the Bible, but you don't live it out. It's almost a contradiction. But you have no passion for God. You have all this compassion for people. Maybe you will, you know, go the wrong way. You'll be more concerned about people and maybe you will be led into wrong theology. But true passion for God will lead to compassion for others, isn't it? And that's why be untied and be used by the Lord. Number two, be set on. All right? Literally be set on by Jesus. That's what the donkey needs to do. Right? Because in verse 2, it says, this donkey, which is the young of the donkey, has never been set on. And yet you see in verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their clothes on it. And the Bible says, he sat on it. He meaning Jesus. Now this is a young donkey, an unbroken young donkey. Now if you understand anything about animal, right, they can actually have a meltdown. Now I have a cat at home and, you know, a lot of people come to my house. The cat actually quite frantic or, you know, quite scared. They will run into the corner and hide somewhere. So I could only imagine if the donkey went out into this big parade and everybody was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. What if the donkey had a meltdown and ran the other way? Right? So this is an unbroken donkey. Nobody has sat on it. And a young donkey could not be sat on. And that's why in Matthew's gospel, not just the young one, the mother also had to come along, right? So it is inexperienced. It needs to be subdued for the king to sit on. And so often, we are like the donkey. We need to be subdued by God, right? God has the power to subdue the donkey, and I believe He has the power to subdue us. Sometimes we may not be so tame, lah. But this is a part where I say, you know, let us learn to obey God before He has to do something to us. Because God is the one that can mold and shape us. In the past, when I went to Mongolia, they have to tame these wild horses. In order to tame these wild horses, they either use rope, and for the very naughty one, they will break the bone. Don't wait until God has to break your bone. Let Him mow you. Allow Him to sit on you. Let Him teach you and train you. When I was in Bible college, I not only have to study the Bible and go to class. We have all these duties to do, to milk the cows, do gardening, and do all sorts of stuff. And I was pulling these carrots one day, together with this doctor. I didn't know he was a doctor until he came. I was a senior student, and so I have to train him. When I was asking him why he was there, he actually spoke in broken English, or Konglish, I call it, Korean English, Konglish. And then later on, I found that he's actually quite a top surgeon in Korea. His hands were used to cut up people and save people's life. And right now, his hands are used to actually pull our carrots together with me. So he was turning to me, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm learning English so that I can be a doctor, medical doctor in Afghanistan. And while he was doing this, I was seeing how God is using this environment, this circumstance, to actually do a surgery in his heart, to make him humble so that he can be fully used by God. You know, before God, we are all the same. Many of us will show others, you know, our name card, with all our titles, and all the things that we are gifted to do or we are trained to do. But in God's eyes, sometimes God is wanting someone who is available, someone who is willing, someone who is submissive. Don't resist God. Because God comforts the afflicted, but sometimes afflict the comfortable. So if you are too comfortable, just be careful. Because God's ways are not man's way. Jesus sat on a donkey instead of a horse ready for battle because it signifies his mission on earth was to bring peace, not to overthrow the Roman Empire. And to think that he would choose a donkey is actually his way of telling us that as Christians, we need to have compassion to serve others, to be humble enough, to stoop down low enough so that we can show Christ's love. Man's way was to overthrow the Roman Empire, restore Israel, ride on a stallion, lead an army. But God's way is to overcome sin and death, restore peace, ride on a donkey and lead the disciples. In Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, it says that, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Whom God chooses may not be what the world approves. Because God is not really calling the qualified, but qualifying those he has called. And that's why I love what Paul says to the Corinthian church, that he chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God is choosing those who are weak to shame the strong. He is asking you to remember, it is not about what you can do for him, but what he can do through you. It is Christ, not I. It is Christ, not I. We have nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to fear. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be a donkey for Jesus Christ." You know, sometimes when I interact with people and I see all these people coming to Christ, I'm excited, but sometimes in my mind, I do not know why they are coming to Christ, because without a surrendered life, you cannot really understand the full measure of Christianity. You need to be surrendered. Sometimes people do not surrender. In fact, recently I went to a conference and the speaker said this. He said, "We use Jesus to give us a better life rather to lay down our life for Jesus Christ." And I thought that was quite a challenging and convicting quotation. But it really spoke to me, because it is important for us to recognize that we are called to be fools in this world. And if we are too smart, sometimes we do things our own way, our own terms. And so finally, other than being set on, being used by God, being humbled, we need to go unnoticed, right? Be unnoticed. Because when the donkey went into Jerusalem, can you imagine? The donkey went into Jerusalem and everybody was saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" And the donkey said, "Thank you very much, thank you very much." No, the donkey didn't do that. Neither did the donkey run away. Or Jesus had to say, "Shh, don't talk." The donkey did not do any tricks. The donkey did not do any somersault. Imagine the donkey did one somersault. I do not know where Jesus would be. But the donkey merely just carried Jesus, went in, and was unnoticed. Everybody was cheering for Jesus, not for the donkey. When I was a youth pastor, we actually invested a lot with young people. Sometimes many hours go, you know, where people actually don't notice what we do in the background. I remember we were having this retreat, and it was all these youth pastors gathering and sharing their woes or testimonies. And then this youth pastor, he said, "You know, I was helping this youth and I was investing a lot of hours. And one day I was so excited, this youth came out and shared testimony." And he was saying halfway, he was saying to the point where I say, "You know, one day when he was sharing and say, I want to thank," when he paused there, "I want to thank." And then in this youth pastor mind, I say, "Yeah, must be my name. He was going to say my name." And then the youth say, "I want to thank God for what he has done for me." And then the youth pastor say, "You know what? That's a lesson of humility for me." He said that, "You know, God got better, got better." But within his heart, he shared with us, he said that how he wished his name was mentioned. And it was, there was all these things within our heart, in deep down in the recesses of heart. We want our name to be mentioned. We want people to know. We want to put it there. We want, you know, the archdeacon to know, "Hey, I've done this, you know, I've done that, you know." But actually, we shouldn't gain all this credit. Go unnoticed. Let God know. Because what you do on earth will be recorded in heaven. Amen? There's a story, a children's story about why we shouldn't actually gain too much credit. It's about this tortoise. You know, this tortoise has two friends who are swans. And of course, this swan fly everywhere, visit everywhere, and came back and tell the tortoise all the wonderful places they have visited. He said, tortoise say, wow, it's so good. I wish I can fly like you. Can you bring me all this to all these places that you have visited? The swan say, cannot lah. You cannot fly. How to do? So the tortoise thought of a good idea. He said, you know, I have a bright idea. Can you take a stick and then two of you, right, you bite one on each corner and I bite at the center. And then we can all fly together. And so the swan said, hey, that's such a good idea. Let's do it. And so they flew and they were enjoying themselves. The tortoise was very happy until they flew over, you know, a farm area and some farmers were looking up and one farmer shouted, wow, this is such a good idea. I wonder who thought of it. To which the tortoise were tahan already and say, it's me. And then fell to his death. You can gain credit, but it's not a good ending. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 3 says this. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I praise God for all of you, because I know some of you have been doing many things in secret. I want you to know that if you do not become weary in doing what is good, you will reap a big harvest. Keep sowing, keep reaping. But for those of us who are trying to prove ourselves, we need to stop placing all these unrealistic expectations. Don't expect God to come in a place like this. You know, go on God's term. We need to carry Jesus. Jesus do not require you to do any somersault. Just be a donkey quietly carrying his presence wherever you go. And you know what? After you have finished everything, this is your worship to the Lord. In Luke 17, verses 9 to 10, Jesus said this. He said, for the servant who has done everything, does he thank the master? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And so go unnoticed. Serve the Lord. Be a donkey. Let's go back then to that story when Jesus entered, because today is really the first day of the Holy Week. And when he entered into Jerusalem, there were people cheering and shouting for Jesus. But yet there were others who did not. Because in Luke 19, verses 39 to 40, it says that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Because they were actually getting jealous and they were not approving of what Jesus was doing. He said, tell your disciples to keep quiet. They are not supposed to cheer for you. You're not really the king, you know. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these people remain silent, the very stones would cry out. And so there are people who did not want Jesus to come into the gates of Jerusalem. In fact, until today, you will see that in Israel, the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate, that many people believe that Jesus have entered on the very day on Palm Sunday, is actually sealed. It was sealed this day because in 1541, in reaction to the belief that Jesus would come back in the same gate, the Muslim actually established a cemetery in front and sealed this gate. But you know what? Jesus is not interested to enter a physical gate. Jesus is interested to enter the gate of your heart. Amen? And so today, if you have never received Jesus into your life, I want you to know that Jesus is wanting to come into your heart. And for those of us who have received Jesus into our hearts, remember that we need to be like the donkey to be set on him. Let him sit on you. Because Jesus, leaving Jerusalem, started weeping and crying out for the city. Because the people failed to realize. They were thinking about a Messiah on their terms, not on God's term. And so today I want to close with a story that recently I've read about. Now, this story, I actually received a text from someone. And this story was actually written in this book called Uncomfortable. And the author was trying to capture some of the uncomfortable thing in Christian community that sometimes we don't talk about. And in a summary of it, he wrote about the scandal of grace. to which he refers to this movie. Now this movie, the backdrop of this movie is this. It's a Korean movie, and it's about this lady called Shinhae. Now Shinhae's husband has just been killed in a car accident, so Shinhae went to the husband's village and brought the son there in order to start a new life. She's not a Christian, but when she was there, there was some Christian that was trying to reach out to her. And so she wanted to prove herself. She worked there. She tried to be like a rich lady. And so because of that, some kidnappers came and kidnapped her only child. And it was kidnapped. And so they asked for a ransom. But finally, she broke out and said that, "I actually am not very rich." And when they heard that, they killed the son. And so she lost her husband, she lost her son, she was in grief. And she was so broken to the point that she could not function. And in the movie, right, there was a turnaround because there was a time where the Christian managed to reach out to her and they fast forward that she became a Christian already. And this is the crux of the story, because in that moment, when she became a Christian, she decided that she has found Christian love and so she should go back to the prison, because by then the prisoner, the murderer was caught and was actually sentenced in prison. So she decided, out of a Christian duty, she wanted to go to prison and look at the murderer in the eye and say, "I forgive you." And to see the reaction that comes out from this murderer. And so she went. All the Christian friends say, "You don't have to go there to forgive him." But she went anyway. She was very excited. And when she shared about her Christian faith, she was surprised to see that the prisoner was already very happy. And so she asked, "Why are you so happy? You're a murderer." And then the prisoner said, "Wow, you know what? I've also found Christ in the prison. God has absolved my sins and all that I've done. And Mrs. Lee, I pray for you every day. And I am thankful that you also have found Christ in your heart." By right, Shinhae should be very happy, right? But she was not. In fact, she was actually very upset. So she left the prison. And to cut the long story short, she left God after that. Because she was thinking to herself, how could this be? How could he receive the same grace? How could he receive the same pardon that I receive? We are different. He's a murderer. I'm not. And so she left. And in the book, talk about how grace can be so scandalous. And today, I want you to know that the self-righteous will not fully understand the full measure of God's grace. Because we always measure ourselves with one another. We always want God to come to us on our terms, not on His terms. It seems like we are only interested when it's convenient to us. We are only interested to serve the Lord when it is okay. But when it is not okay, when we could not understand, and trust me, Christian life is not a bed of roses. We're going to go through life with all these different things coming at us, just like any other non-Christian is going to face. But you know what's the difference? The difference is that you can lean on Him and trust in Him. You know those people who were shouting Hosanna on the very day when Jesus was entering Jerusalem? They were saying and cheering and thinking to themselves, you know what? Finally, the Messiah has come. And so we cheered. But when they realized that this is not the kind of Messiah that they were thinking about, they changed the language. They said, "Crucify Him." They killed Jesus, the very one that they were praising and honoring when He entered. On Friday, they hung Him on the cross. They were expecting a Jesus that would come with a sword to kill the Romans. They were not expecting the Romans to kill their Messiah. They do not want a dead Messiah. They only want things on their terms. And friends, today I want to encourage you that we need to trust God and walk by faith. Let God lead you. Because He will lead you on His terms, on His GPS, on His word, in His will. How are you carrying the presence of the Lord today? You know, while all the donkeys are not recognized by people. Nobody see the donkey. Let's go back to the donkey. I wonder where is the donkey when Jesus was crucified? I wonder if the donkey was slaughtered Just now before I come and preach, someone said donkey meat, very nice to eat. But I want you to know that while the donkey was not noticed by people, he was noticed by Jesus. Jesus knew about that donkey that Zechariah prophesied. Jesus used the donkey and Jesus noticed him. In all four Gospels, it was recorded. And the donkey fulfilled his only purpose and destiny, which is to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. Praise God. Praise God for that. That all the stories in the narratives of the Gospel was reminding us that God has these special encounters with different ones because He was there at the right time. Jesus always noticed those who are unnoticed. He called out to Zacchaeus, who was on a tree, a rejected tax collector, and his life was transformed. He called out to the woman who touched him, who has a blood issue, who was sick, and immediately she was healed. He called out to her. He called out to the one who was at the well, the Samaritan woman that everybody rejected and has to actually go to the well on a very hot day. Jesus noticed you. And while you're waiting to be used by the Lord, He say, as long as you say, I am willing. I'm willing to be used by you. God can use you. And in all the serving, remember, it's not I, but Christ. And so, today, this morning, I believe God is speaking to all of us, reminding us during this Holy Week, you know, many people were inviting to Easter, to Good Friday. Maybe you need to ask, how can you be untied to serve the Lord? How can you allow Jesus to sit on you, carry His presence into wherever you are? And how can you go unnoticed and just keep doing faithfully? Shall we all stand? And let's use this song to close our service today. Thank you.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His.
Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, nor is my yet not I, but to Christ in me.
The night is dark, but I am not forsaken.
For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ. In me,
hallelujah.
No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven.
Let's raise our hands and worship with this song.
The price it has been paid. For Jesus bled
and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated.